long have you lived in this area, you and George?
Well, we've lived here 49 years in this area, and previous to that, I lived here from June 1944 till the present time. Married in 54. And
gracious sakes, what's that, 59 years? 59 years you've lived in the area.
Yes.
And George, did George grow up here too?
No.
Where did George grow up?
He grew up in the city.
Did he?
Yeah.
This was his home.
And his parents moved out here in the late 40s, but he was at university then and went on to work in Montreal and came back here around 1950.
So your folks grew up here too?
No. Grew up in Montreal.
Did they?
Moved here from Montreal in June 1944.
Okay. And what'd your dad do now?
At that time, he was with the British American Oil Company.
Right? In sales?
Yes.
Yes?
He was transferred here.
And what about George's dad?
George's dad was with the Claude Neon Group, E.L. Ruddy Company.
Okay. And we know your children. Tell us about your children.
You have three children, Bruce, Kim, and Heather.
And they're all... No, Heather's...
Heather lives out west.
That's out west, yeah.
Northern B.C.
Right. She gets home...
In the summers
most
and
Christmas
most
time.
Christmases, yes.
Right.
And Bruce lives in the area as well. He's lived various places but came back here 7 years ago.
He's been very, very successful. I
yes,
remember him
has.
As a kid. He was an entrepreneur at age 10, I
yes.
think.
Yes. Probably before that.
Yeah.
And Kim lives in Quispam.
Right. So you see all the family regularly,
yes.
except Heather. You see her once or twice a year.
That's right. Right? Yes.
Now, what schools did you and George attend?
I went to Ross Lake Consolidated School out here in Ross Lake, which is now Ross Lake Middle School at Ross Lake Corner.
Okay. What grades do they have now? Up to grade 8?
They had grade 1 to 11 then.
Did they?
Because you graduated from grade 11, not 12. As
yeah,
it is
junior
now.
Matric. Yeah.
And... Mr. Mielek was the principal for the first couple of years, and then it was Doug Patterson.
Yes, our friend Doug Patterson from St. David.
He came out of the Air Force and into Ross Lake Consolidated School
okay.
as the principal and teacher
right.
of grade 11. And, of course, stayed on for many, many years, on up to Ross Lake High School and then KV.
And did you, and so you finished at Ross Lake grade 11 at Ross Lake?
Yes.
Ross Lake
Consolidated School, that's what it was called back then.
Yeah. And what about George? Is he going to
George
city?
George went to St. John High School.
Right.
Graduated in 1941 and joined the Air Force. Went to UNB for a year, I guess, and then joined the Air Force. And went back to UNB and graduated in 1948 in engineering.
Has George been an entrepreneur all his life? He worked for other companies before he got into his own businesses?
He worked for one company in Montreal and came back to St. John and started his own manufacturer's agency.
Manufacturer agent, mm-hmm. yeah. What are your memories growing up here? So much has changed, even though you and I think of ourselves as relatively young people. A lot has happened. What are your favorite memories of the area?
Well, one of the things was they used to have a fair on the Ross Lake Common. And at the time, they were using the proceeds, I think, for the war effort.
Right.
It was a fundraising
This is the early
project.
40s.
This would be, I was here in the summer of 42 for a visit.
Right.
Come on in. And
hi, George. Oh. Join us when you can.
Okay. Call me when you need me, Val.
And then I'm a little bit doubtful as to how many years that went on before they started the Highland Games. The Highland Games came after this
All right.
Brasse Fair that they had on the common.
And who went to this fair? Everybody in the whole area?
Yes. Yep.
Talking about the whole area, you were six villages in town then, right? You had Renforth?
Yes.
East Riverside?
Yes.
Old Rosse?
And Kingshurst was separate then.
Kingshurst was separate, mm-hmm. And Fairvale?
Yes.
Gondola Point?
Yes.
And Quispamsis. So you were almost seven areas.
Yeah.
What else? Now, what about churches? Did you have all the same churches
then?
Well,
when we moved here, we went to Centenary Queen Square in the city.
Right, which was our church too.
Yes. But then I used to go to CGIT, Canadian Girls in Training, at St. David's.
This in the 40s?
In the 40s, which was then not what you would call a wonderful edifice at that time, because it was a very small group of people keeping that church going at that time.
Okay.
And the Beauvaird family.
Retta's folks?
No, Eugene's folks.
Eugene's
folks. Folks, he had three sisters.
Okay.
And they were all involved in, and his mother as well.
Yep.
Used to play the organ. Was involved with, these other girls were in the CGIT group as well. Especially remember them. And then, of course, at Rosse Corner, you had Merritt's store and old Mr. Diggle's store across the street.
And this is still in the 40s?
Yes.
How many stores were there then? Were there several stores?
No, there was Mr. Merritt's store, which was Rosse, groceries, and
okay.
Mr. Diggle had groceries as well. Those were the two. And then, of course, there was Mr. Brown's service station across from the school.
Right. And a hotel?
And Kennedy House on the corner, yes.
Kennedy House was a rooming house or hotel?
A hotel.
Hotel.
A small hotel. And I used to go and have lunch there the odd time with Elizabeth Kennedy, the daughter, because she was in my class in school.
Okay.
And then, of course, Arthur Kennedy had his service station down behind the hotel.
How many rooms would this hotel have? 8 or 10 or 15 or something?
Probably. I think probably 10, I would guess. They had permanent residence there.
Today,
big grand across the front.
Big what? Veranda?
Big veranda across the front. The people used to sit there and watch the people watch and see cars and so on going back and forth.
It's hard to believe today. Here we are 15 minutes from St. John, but people
yes.
still stayed there, obviously.
Yes, but they were more permanent residents.
Almost like a rooming house?
Yes.
Okay.
And Shadow Lawn was that way as well. There used to be permanent residents there. Right up till probably the early 50s at Shadow Lawn.
What happened to Kennedy House?
Well, I think, Mr. and Mrs. Kennedy got up there in years and didn't want to run it anymore, and they sold it. I'm not sure to whom, but it was always a service. They tore it down, and it was always a service station after that.
Which is where the former Irving Station was.
Yes. So I would guess they probably sold it to the Irving people at that time.
So you lived in that area when you were a CGI,
yep.
CGIT.
Mm-hmm.
What else did the young people do in those days? For what sports did you do? What did the young people do for enjoyment?
Well, we had a cadet corps in school at that time. 1944.
Yep.
For both girls and boys. And of course there was a
Army cadet? Army or Air Force as well? Do you remember?
It was Army cadets.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And there was always a lot of activity at the local rink too. The boys had hockey teams and they used to play Hampton Consolidated and Sussex.
Where did they play their hockey?
On the Rosse
Commons?
That's still there at the Common today, yes.
Okay. That's and the same rink area?
Yes.
Yep.
Exact same spot.
Yep.
Used to have a winter carnival there every winter. All the children in the area would dress up and so on, and they served hot chocolate at St. Paul's Church Hall afterwards. Boys had soccer teams. The girls used to play baseball, but I mean, it wasn't any organized.
Just make up baseball, yeah.
Just make up baseball.
Did you skate on the skate and do a lot of swimming and skating in the river? Was the river a big part of your social life?
Yes. A lot of skating and ice boating.
Ice boating?
And at that time, I can remember, I used to go to the Grant's house, Grant Sr., this would be Rory's parents.
Rory, yeah.
Mr. Grant built an ice boat on his dining room table. And then
not too popular with Mrs. Grant.
He got it all. Mrs. Grant really didn't mind. He got it all finished and he couldn't get it out. And they had to take the bay window out of the dining room so he could get the ice boat out.
Would there be many ice boats in the area?
Oh, yes, quite a few. Yeah, it was a very popular thing.
These are for one person, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did they race them or just enjoy them?
No, just enjoyed them.
And was there a Mr. Berg as well? Do you remember? Was it
Yes, but that was later years.
That was later years, wasn't
Yes.
it?
They lived over here. Well, they lived in the house that David and Peggy Case are in now.
Down in the loop?
In Rossi
Park. Rossi
Park. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They lived there and then they moved over here. Of course, they were very active. Mr. Berg was very instrumental in starting the St. John Ski Club.
Okay.
Which we all took part in. And we used to take the train on Saturday or Sunday morning. There was a train that would take us to Hampton. And you would get off the train with your skis and a knapsack with your lunch in it. And we get in a big 3-ton truck, when I think of it now. Great big
open back
3-ton truck. And we just stand there in the truck with our skis. And they put a rope across the back and drove out to the Pickwocket Road to where the McMacken home is now. And the Bob Lawrence and the Bergs, like there were three sons.
Yes,
my brother Ron was one of the workers, and they cleared the land and built a rope tow on the hill.
Off the Pickwocket Road area?
Mm-hmm, right where the McMacken property is now.
Okay.
And the people that lived in that house at the time allowed us to use their sun porch, just go in and sit down and eat our lunch.
Yeah.
And
this is long before Polly, of course.
Oh, yes. And the truck would come back and get us, and we'd get on the train.
How many would there be?
Probably 40 or 50, I think, get in that truck. A lot of us. And we were just squeezed in, just standing.
How did you use the river now in the summertime? Was there a lot of swimming and sailing?
A lot of swimming and some sailing, yes, but not like it is now. It was all mostly privately owned, larger sailboats.
Was Rossi Yacht Club in existence then?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The favorite thing to do in the spring in Rossi was to break into the yacht club. That's what the young kids all did.
Did you hear that, please?
No, that's right, we did. We watched the boys do it. That's really what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was there organized swimming as well? Was the river part of your social life, summer and winter?
There was nothing organized to any degree back then. You know, I mean, if you were fortunate enough to be related to someone who owned a boat, then you got to be out on the river a lot. But otherwise, you know, there were lots of people that didn't have the opportunity.
The Grants have now, Gregor and Rory still have a very large sailboat. Would that have been around then?
Yes, it was.
Because it's a an old-timer and a beautifully designed boat.
And of course, the Aloma was there then. And
the Olin's boat?
Tony Taylor owned a boat then, too.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the name of it. I want to say Quabita. I think that is what it was called. And the Canada was there then.
Who owned that?
The Brocks.
Okay.
The brothers.
Yep.
And the Gannett was another lovely sailboat owned by the Harleys.
Who's that? Sue Harley?
This would be Tim Harley's father.
Okay.
The Petries, old Dr. Petrie, had a lovely sailing craft as well.
Stepping back in time a little bit now, so George finished high school, was overseas. How long was George overseas?
He didn't go overseas, okay. But he was in the Air Force.
In the Air Force, yeah.
Sent over.
When he came out of the Air Force...
Not too long, I don't think.
He went back to university.
Yes.
And then became a manufacturer's agent.
Yeah.
What were his main lines and things? Did he have a specialized group?
Well, he was an electrical engineer.
Okay.
And so it was mostly electrical related.
Okay, and he covered what, Atlantic Canada or Nova Scotia? Or
Atlantic Canada.
Atlantic Canada.
Yep. Yeah.
So he knows the Maritimes backwards.
Yes, he does.
Yep. And did he retire still in the manufacturing agency?
Yes.
Yep. So that was his...
He built up his own company.
Okay. One of the things, one of the many things that people associate with the Robinsons is George's love of connection, of his collection. Courier
Knives, yes.
I'm sure the listeners would love to know how that came about and all about it.
Well, I used to suggest to him he should have a hobby.
This is when he was on the road.
When he was still traveling and in business. And he always maintained that he would never retire. So he was at an auction, probably one of Tim Isaac's auctions, and he was looking at a sailing ship, painting of a sailing ship, I believe. And it was one of the miles, and he met Mrs. Turnbull, Sr., and he said, I suppose, you know, this is going to go for a very high price, and she agreed, and she said, she pointed out a print, a Courier-Knives print of the sailing ship to him, and she said, now there's what you should do, George, start collecting, you know, Courier-Knives prints. And that's basically, he did buy the print that day, and that's basically how he got started.
This would be...
Probably in the early 80s.
25 years ago.
Certainly 20 years ago that he started collecting them. And so he's managed to collect quite a few. And, of course, he got involved in Elder Hostel and giving lectures. And
what's Elder Hostel now?
What is Elder Hostel?
Yeah.
Well, it's a group, a very large organization for seniors age 50 and up.
In Canada?
In Canada. It's worldwide.
Okay.
It's in Canada, it's in the U.S., and in all of Europe. You can travel just about anywhere you want to go through Elder Hostel. And it's well organized, and they have lectures, but, I mean, you don't have to write any exams or anything like that. It's just purely for the fun of the knowledge of various subjects. And
how did George get involved there? Were you involved as well with him?
Not really. He did it mostly, but...
Was this a coincidence that he got involved with Elder Hostel?
Yes. Okay. They started an Elder Hostel group at RCS, Netherwood.
Yep.
And... at that time, they weren't just sure how to go about it, and they arranged to have George go and be one of the lecturers, and that's how he started and got involved in it, because he found it very interesting. And so then he used to go to St. Andrews. They had, an elder hostel there at the hotel, the Shiretown. And then that sort of folded after the Shiretown did, and so he organized an elder hostel in St. Martin's.
Okay.
And right now they have the elder hostel at the Quaco Inn, and it's very successful. And I think they have 10 or 12 weeks of the year where they have their weekly sessions in the spring and then again in the fall.
And George is still lecturing?
No.
But he lectured over the years?
He did, yes, up until about 3 years ago.
On the Courier Knives, this would be his main...
He'd make a slide presentation of the prints and how they're made and the history of them and so on.
And he still has, we've seen some of them, but he still has a very large connection.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And people talk of him as the authority on it.
Well, he's very knowledgeable on the subject, and he, I believe, has the largest collection in Canada of...
Does he really?
...prints, yes.
Is this one, I know this is one of George's loves. Does he have many other hobbies?
No. He used to love to curl, but...
Yes, both of you did a lot of curling. What are some of George's other interests? Well, he worked steady up until a few years ago.
Yes.
Tell us about your curling, because the two of you were noted as keen curlers and very good.
We were very keen curlers. We had a lot of fun and traveled a lot through curling.
Who were some of your good friends that you curled with?
Well, we curled with Tom and Mary Foster a lot.
Dr. Foster, yeah.
Yes. But we went down in the Boston area several times in that, you know, to different clubs and down to Connecticut, Maine, you name it. This was all around the province.
Did you start curling through Riverside?
Oh, yes. No, St. Andrews.
St. Andrews.
Yes.
And then I suppose became active when Riverside got their rank.
Yes, then we got in very much involved in the mid-60s when curling started at Riverside.
Was Riverside a competitive club then as well?
Not like it is today. Curling was more social.
Was it?
Up until, I'd say, late 70s. And once they had all these clinics and got a lot more competitive then.
They were like with Phil Sutherland get involved in teaching,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. What is this? What changes have you noticed in, well, you and I are currently in what used to be East Riverside, and we had an amalgamation back a few years ago. What's this area been like to live in? What changes do you recall? Has it changed that much over your almost 60 years that you've known the area?
Yes, it has. I mean, it's still a great place to live and to bring up your family. And it's certainly, everyone takes a lot more pride in their property and their grounds now than they did 40 years ago. But I think that's pretty general everywhere.
Right.
But I've noticed, especially when friends have come back to visit that used to live here, that was their comment, that everything looks so lush and green and the homes are all well kept and that sort of thing.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
This is considered one of the desirable areas to live,
yes,
that's for sure.
Yes, it is. Well, it is. It's a nice area, and the people are friendly. And
much change in the schooling or churches that you recall? Were all the churches, do they all have a history here? Was St. Paul's Church here then?
Oh, yes.
St. Paul's?
Yes.
And St. David's, you say, was an old...
St. David's was in pretty sad shape in the 40s. And
when did you join St. David's? You're one of the...
Well, we didn't actually join the church until 57. but we were married in 54 and lived in the city for a year. But then once we moved back out here, then we started going to St. David's, and we transferred our membership in 57.
Okay.
But just before that was when Mr. Gifford, Ned Madison, and
yes,
a few people like that, that got the ball rolling and renovated the church. Didn't have a steeple and didn't look anything like it does today. And that's when that transformation took place. And, I mean, they haven't looked back. The church has just grown.
What ministers, what are your first ministers you remember? Would Bill Titus be one of the early ones?
Yes, but it was Bill Thompson before that.
Okay.
Thompson? Or Bill, I'm not sure. He was the minister when we joined.
Followed by, who do you believe? Bill Titus was the first one I remember.
Yes, I think Bill Titus came after...
That'd be in the 60s sometime.
Yes, around 60. We had Ray, Mr. Ray, in there before Bill Titus, I think.
Okay.
An Englishman, he came up from Bermuda.
Okay.
So he was here for a while, and then Bill Titus. And then I believe after Bill Titus would have been Ted McLeod.
Correct, and then you and I have been together,
yes,
with the,
yeah,
recent ministers. What about schools? What's different on the schools?
Incredible growth. Incredible. I mean, when you think that Rossay Consolidated School served all of Renforth, mind you, Cape Park didn't exist,
right,
back then. All of Renforth, East Riverside, Rossay, Fairvale, Gondola Point, Quispam, Sis, and from across the river,
Kingston Peninsula.
Yes, they all came over here to school. Amazing.
And what,
in that one school, and there was one
consolidated school.
Yes,
Rossay Consolidated.
And there was one class of each grade. Our graduating class in 1949 was the largest graduation class up till that time in that school, and there were 26 in the class.
Land of mercy.
And when you think how many more schools there are now, it's amazing.
And that's 49.
Yep.
Same year I graduated out of high school, St. John High School.
Yep.
And since then, in high school, you have what? Cases Valley, KVHS?
You have KV, you have Rossay High.
Aye, yeah. Hampton, of course, a new high school in Hampton.
Yes, but Hampton had a school. There was a Hampton Consolidated School.
Okay.
So that the Hampton students didn't come down here, but I believe there's a high school... Is McDonald a high school? I'm not sure.
In Kingston?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not sure. But, I mean, it's just amazing the number of students there are in the schools. I mean, you have your Fairvale Elementary and Cape Park and Rossay Elementary. There's what? Three... Plus, and Quispam, there's four, and Lakefield.
Yep.
Five elementary schools.
And you have your middle school up by the Catholic Church?
Yes. And that's what Rossay Consolidated is now. That's a middle school, yep, as well. Amazing.
When you were going to high school here, Rossay Consolidated, where did everybody work? Were there many jobs here in...
What was here?
What was here? You grew up in what? East Riverside? Kinghurst?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Were there many jobs locally, or did everybody go into town?
No, I think most people went to the city. You had Harry Green, the plumber, and Andy Green, the electrician. And they used to be it out here for those two things. And
they were brothers?
Yes. And they, beside the Rossay Consolidated School, there was a fire station. Fire engine in there, and the barber shop was upstairs over it.
And where was that located?
Right beside the Rossay Middle School. Be where the Northrop people are.
Okay.
Between Merritt's store and the school, there was a building, small building in there with...
And that was your fire?
Yeah.
And that would have been...
shop.
That was Jeff Sayre?
I don't think so. Would have been volunteer fire department
okay.
at that time.
And a barbershop, yeah.
And then, of course, Betty Miller was the hairdresser, too, at that time out here. The only one.
Did people still have summer homes out here?
Oh, yes. Lots of them.
And you still had train service from St. John?
Yes. Yeah.
How long do you remember that? Was it here when you graduated from high school?
Yes, I think it was. I still had it.
So people commuted daily by train?
To the city, yes. A lot of people did. And of course we had a bus service as well.
You had train and bus service?
My brother used to go to school on the train.
Brother who?
Ron.
Ron?
My older brother. He'd run down the Kinghurst Road with a tie flying behind him and a piece of toast in his hand and grab the, you know.
Where was he going? To St. John High School?
Yes.
As you know, I saw Ron and a good catch up with him just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
He was there.
Yeah.
How many children were your family?
Three. I have two brothers, one older and one younger.
Ron's the oldest in the family.
Yes.
And then you have, is it Alan?
Alan, yes. He lives in Cape Art.
Politics. Was politics an active sport or interest or hobby, or did people follow politics a lot? Was it an important part of your social life in those days?
No, it wasn't. And I mean, if your great-grandfather was conservative, well then, your grandfather was, and your father, and everybody right on down the line. There was
you were expected to follow the family
oh, yes.
tradition.
Yep. And it just, this area, of course, was always PC for a good many years.
So the tradition has come back. Has come full circle.
Yeah, I think so.
We talked about the life on the river. Would you like to see this area, or do you expect this area to become more commercial and more industrialized?
I doubt it. I think the growth is all up the old Hampton Road. I can't see all along this particular stretch becoming commercialized.
Would you say this is the feeling of most residents to keep it just the more casual way of life?
I would think so. We definitely need some sort of senior housing, but I don't know where that would be or when.
That's an interesting topic for many of us. What would you and George like to see in senior housing? What do you think we need?
Well, I think Chapel Hill has the right approach, and I think that's the type of housing that we should be looking at for out here. But
and that's still expanding, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We drove around there yesterday.
Yeah.
Very high-quality homes.
They are. You know, I think, and yet they're not... I don't think the cost is prohibitive.
What are they, one and two bedroom homes, to your knowledge?
I believe so, yes. I think they do have two bedrooms.
The builder is who, Scott? Ron Scott?
I don't think so.
I saw one of his signs, that's where I was wondering.
I'm not sure. I don't think it is. But he certainly appears to have been very successful at selling them. And I drove up there myself a few weeks ago, and, you know, they're all beautifully landscaped now.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
And building, still building new.
Yes. Yeah.
You made reference to amalgamation. I guess it's 4 or 5 years ago our communities got amalgamated, and we had Vad Bill Artis, and now Mayor Bill Bishop as our mayors. Have you noticed any changes for the better or worse on amalgamation? You like the larger area than as preferred to the smaller individual villages?
I have to say that our services are as good now as they were before, and I didn't expect them to be. I think, you know, the whole amalgamation has worked quite well, and that we're getting good service.
In our lifetime, do you see future amalgamation?
I hope not. Because the future amalgamation is going to be with the city, and I just can't see that.
I happen to share your opinion. What about Quispam, Sis, and Rossay? Do you see that in the next 10 years?
It would be a logical thing to do, but I don't know whether, you know, the powers that be would allow it.
Provincial.
Because then if we do that, the city's really going to be left. You know, I mean, the very fact that they've changed the boundaries for the voting.
Yes.
It's the thin edge of the wedge, as far as I can tell.
It appears that some people think it's inevitable. I believe we have so much to offer families here that I don't see the need or the benefit of further amalgamation with the city. As we chat to folks who've been around for a few years, I hear discussion about shipyards. There was a shipyard at the foot of Appleby Drive. As a young girl at CGIT age, do you remember any shipbuilding?
No.
Do you remember any old commercial wharves? Or the name like Appleby Shipyard?
No.
So that goes back a generation before us.
A long way before that.
Well, Val, we've shared your lifetime and George's. You've seen unbelievable growth in this area.
Oh, for sure. You used to know who lived in every house, but not anymore.
Transportation, we didn't touch on that, other than as a girl, you could go by car, by bus, by train. Were there any horses still active as a child here? Did anybody use horse and buggy still?
I believe they'd use them. Some of the students that lived out in the country of Quispam, Sis, out in the Pettingill Road, for one, they used to bring them down by horse and sleigh, especially in the winter. One of my friends who was in my class in school said that's what they used to do, to get them out to the main road.
Okay.
And some of the students traveled by SMT bus to school back then. We walked.
How far did you walk to your consolidated school?
A mile. Just up the street here. I lived next door to where we used to be.
Okay.
I walked to school every day, home for lunch every day, and thought nothing of changing my clothes and walking back up to Rossay again. after school.
So you walked 4 miles
plus. At least 4 miles a day, yeah.
Plus you're walking for playtime.
Yes. And I had a bicycle, you know, that I was able to drive that in the, you know, in the spring and fall, but in the winter I thought nothing of it.
You didn't get bussed. You didn't get bussed by the yellow school buses as the kids do today.
There weren't any. But the students in Renforth used to travel on the SMT bus for a special rate, I believe.
We were talking about stores. You had two grocery stores. Mm-hmm. You had a barber. You had a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. You had a garage. You had St. David's Old Church. You had St. Paul's Church. You had your Catholic Church here, too.
Yes.
And what about Renforth? What was there for Renforth residents?
Well, before you get to Renforth, just down here across from the golf club, there used to be a store there.
Across from the golf club.
Exactly, right where that sculpture is now.
Yes.
It was sort of had to be a narrow, long, narrow building, and it was groceries, a few groceries, and like a little ice cream parlor. They had the few little the old-fashioned ice cream chairs and tables. And the man's name was O'Neill, I believe, that ran that. He had a son, Eugene, who went to school when I did. And then from there you went down to Fitzgerald's and Caldwell's. Caldwell's store was there.
Who was there at Fitzgerald's then? Was Joan's...
Parents.
Joan's parents ran it?
Her dad was running it, yes.
And then Joan was a secretary, I believe, was she?
Joan was a secretary. She worked for my uncle at F.W. Daniel and Company, the head of King Street.
Did she?
Yeah. And then when that store went under, she went to work, I believe, for the Board of Trade.
Okay. And then...
And then when her father wasn't well enough to keep on with the store, father and mother were both involved in it, then Joan...
Came down to run it?
And came here, yeah.
Was that their family home as well? Where she lives now, where Joan lives
no.
now?
No, it was up behind her on First Street.
Okay.
Second house in, I think.
Riverside. Has that changed much over the years? Was it an active part of the social life in this area as you grew up?
Yes. Yes, I've been a member... I used to caddy Riverside for 50 cents.
50 cents what?
For 18 holes.
A girl would caddy for 50 cents for 18 holes. That works out to about 12 cents an hour.
And of course, we used to play a bit of golf, and I joined Riverside as a member when it was 16. So.
Did George golf too?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
What was Riverside like then? That was your old clubhouse.
The old clubhouse.
Which was a warm, friendly...
Yes, and wonderful food. That was, you know, the Saturday night buffets they had. Of course, it was only open in the summer back then, but... No, it was very much a...
Was it
an active social scene, because they had dances on Saturday nights. And
everybody dressed up their best? And
oh, yes. Yep.
And would it be lunches as well then, or mostly dinners?
You could go there for dinner through the week. But as I say, Saturday night was a buffet with wonderful roast beef. And the ladies... were active as well with their luncheons and fashion shows and bridges and what have you.
Okay. Would one of the reasons why it was so active be that there was not too much competition in restaurants?
Oh, I'm sure. For sure. And I think that's one of the reasons they're having problems today, is we have a lot of really nice places we can go to eat.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's one of the areas where they just don't compete with what you can do or places you can go to in the city.
Anything else, Val, you would like to chat about in your almost a lifetime here, you and George and three wonderful children?
Well, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I think it's been a great place to live, wonderful place to bring up your children. The children have been involved in Pony Club and the sailing courses and so on, and it's been great.
You were asking about the Rossay Living Museum. This is a community-based, it's a partnership between the town of Rossay and Rossay High School. As we discussed, it was founded on the concept that the heritage and the history of the area is a very important aspect and identity of who we are and should be nurtured and honored. In order to remember who we are, our stories and images have to be preserved, told, and shown to the younger members of our community. Their stories, yours in turn, are also added to our collective tapestry, which is creating a living museum. You are one of the few who we've interviewed, and even though I think of you and George as a young couple, you have shared the history of this area. And on behalf of the museum, Val and George, we'd like to thank you sincerely for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
This is Bill Carson. Thanks, Val. Signing off now.